Hallelujah. Could you press into that just for a moment here? We magnify you. We worship you. We lift you up. We praise your name. Glory, 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 glory. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're so thrilled and delighted to have our friends from Clarksville, Tennessee with us today and tonight. And we want example to come and sing and praise the Lord. And then we're going to turn Brother Gary Ellis loose. And wasn't the word of God awesome in the house last night? Praise God. And we appreciate these folks. They've got such a wonderful revival attitude and mentality. You can be seated. It's an excellent thing to see Brother Daniel's family in the house. Won't you guys wave a little bit? Brother Daniel is an old high school chum of Brother Butch's, and he attends church there in Clarksville. And we've got connections all across the framework of these two churches, and it's kind of exciting what God is doing there. And Brother Daniel's a little sawed-off diesel mechanic, full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. And we appreciate the good church family that he has in Clarksville, the healthy place that he's growing in the kingdom of God. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord and praise the Lord with example.
song the other night, and Sister Sutton asked for us to do it again. So I hope y'all don't mind hearing it again. But it's a song, it went, I think it went like, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Come on.
I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Say it one more time.
Lord, I lift your name.
I pray to the Lord, cause he know my every wish. By the evening come, I get one sack of fish.
What kind of Lord?
Yeah.
What kind of love?
Yeah.
excellence is all the earth. Your excellence, Jesus, your excellence. Your excellence is all the earth.
The people don't want to praise you.
The people don't want to praise you.
Your excellence.
Your excellence is all the earth. And if the people don't want to praise you. Your excellence in all the earth. Your excellence, Jesus, your excellence. Your excellence in all the earth.
If the
and if the people don't want to praise you. Your excellence in all the earth. And if the people don't want to praise you. Your excellence in all the earth.
Your excellence,
Jesus, your excellence. Your excellence in all the earth. Your excellence in all the earth. And if the people don't want to praise you, your excellence in all the earth. And if the people don't want to praise you, your excellence in all the earth.
Goodbye world.
Goodbye world. I'm staying no longer with you. Goodbye pleasures of sin. I'm staying no longer with you. I made up my mind to go that way.
Praise the Lord. You did this song the other night. It's a song called Awesome God. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
God is awesome. Oh, you can do better. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, neighbor. God is awesome. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise and
hallelujah.
Shout to God with the voice of triumph.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah,
Jesus.
As soon as our band gets ready.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Give God another hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
Last, your word will never pass.
Said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just turn to your neighbor and say, serve the Lord with gladness. Tell them the house of God ought to be the happiest place in the city. My God, if you know God, you ought to be smiling this morning. If he's washed your sins away, you ought to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I appreciate the ministry in word and in song this morning, and these are wonderful minstrels of God. We are so glad to have the elder in the house this morning. And he feels at home here. And so he's going to come right up in the middle of where you're living. And it won't bother him at all because he feels at home. Everybody say, preach to me, Dad. And Brother Gary Ellis from Clarksville, Tennessee. Wonderful teacher, pastor, good friend of this church and a personal friend. I'm so thrilled about who I meet in the kingdom of God. You listen to the backsliders and the disenchanted all you want, but I think the church is full of wonderful people. And the brother that's about to take this pulpit is representative of the best in the kingdom of God. Clap your hands unto the Lord as he comes this morning. Brother Ellis, take your liberty.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise and make a lot of noise for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a great day to be a child of God. Amen. Shake somebody's hand next to you and tell them, I love you, and the devil can't do one thing about it. Amen. Say that to somebody else, I love you, and the devil can't do one thing about it. In fact, shake hands with two or three people and just tell them, I love you. And the devil can't do one thing about it. Amen. It feels so good to be in the house of the Lord. Please remain standing as we go to the word of the Lord. I'm so grateful for being here and thank God for men like Brother Barry Sutton. Amen. Amen. I feel so privileged to have a man of God like that in my life. And I prayed years ago. I think it was about 8 years ago, my wife and I discussed this, and I discovered that I'm not old, but I was getting older. And you know, after you reach a certain age, mortality, the reality of mortality sets in. See, young folk don't think they're going to die anytime soon, so they don't think about a lot of future stuff. You know? But the older you get, the more real certain things become. And I reached a place in my life where I realized that cars and clothes and houses and money and things like that, though they have their place, do not add great value to your existence. Amen. But if a man can live his life and have at least 7 real good friends, y'all not hearing what I'm talking about. If you can just have 7 real good friends,
people that'll love you no matter what you have, no matter what folks say about you, no matter what your situation is. You have real treasure when you have real friends. Can you say amen? And what I like about Brother Barry Sutton, he is no Pentecostal politician. You either have it or you don't with Barry Sutton. Hallelujah. And so I love him because he's a real friend. And this church is a real friend to us as well. Amen. I can think of only one church as wild as this. Someplace in Tennessee, but they're crazy, just like y'all. They nuts, just like you are. Hallelujah. And so good to see Brother Daniel Kelly's family with us today. Amen. His mom, his sister, and her husband, and his stepfather it is. Praise God. So good to see them here. And Brother Sutton told you, Brother Daniel Kelly is a, you know, you better watch. You know, sometimes those little firecrackers, they hurt. Daniel's like one of those little firecrackers. I mean, you get a hold of that fella, he'll just blow up right in your hand. Glory to God. He's just a wonderful young man of God. And we appreciate all that are here to share with the word of the Lord. Will you turn your Bible to the book of Jude? Brother Sutton and Sister Sutton, thank you again so much. Where's Sister Sutton? Where's she at? There she is, way back in the back. There's the mother of the church. Praise God. Amen. First Lady Sutton. Thank you so much for your hospitality. And where are you guys standing? Whose house is they standing in? Brother Tony's? Where Brother Tony at? Brother Tony, where you at? He stepped out. I'm going to come back to visit Brother Tony because I wouldn't care if he lived in a coal shed. Brother Tony, thank you for keeping my young men out of trouble. And they told me that you said I could come back and go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. Praise God. I'm going to come back and go fishing. You got big crappie in there? I'm going to come back and have me some crappie. Hallelujah. I'm going to go fishing. Praise God. I like fishing. You know, I don't catch much, but I still like it. Praise God. The book of Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Sanctified, preserved, and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men, crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Grace does what? Teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The Bible said that certain men had crept in and turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And the Bible says that grace teaches us quite the opposite. It teaches us that the benefit is in denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly and righteously in this present age. Taking my thought from both texts, I want to teach today, I would rather fight than switch. He said, contend for the faith that was once, I would rather fight than switch. And then from the book of Titus, I want you to look at somebody and say, and grace talked me out of it. Grace talked me out of it. Will you put your Bibles down and clap your hands and lift up your voice and praise the wonderful name of Jesus? Hallelujah. 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 Bless your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate the presence of the Lord. And I'm glad I looked down at my watch because I looked up at that clock on the back wall and it has 10:30. Y'all was about to be here through the buffet. Amen. Praise God. And inasmuch as that I don't want to use a lot of your time, I'm going to do you like a Hollywood marriage. I won't keep you long at all. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I would rather fight than switch. I would rather fight than switch. I'm grateful for the grace of God. I was not raised in church, and I wasn't raised with praying parents. I was not raised regularly attending service or having a real fear and reverence for God or the things of God. And to say all of my initial experiences in church were negative. Apart from the actual experience of coming to know God, everything I experienced in the kingdom initially was of negative situations. I didn't come to God because the choir sounded good. I didn't come to God because I enjoyed what they offered in the facilities. I didn't even come to God because I was treated well in church. I came to God because I was tired of being a sinner. Amen. And I think what happens to a lot of people is the motive for approaching God is altogether wrong. And that's why it's so easy for people to be disconnected from God. It doesn't take much for people to walk away from the Lord. It amazes me that some young lady can walk away from God because somebody didn't speak to her, only to go home to a man that won't even talk to her. Y'all not hearing what I'm talking about. Go quit church because somebody mistreated her and go home to a man who beats her. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And the reason why she's going back to him is because of some twisted, distorted view of the word love. When the God who died for her has no place in her life. I just said it about ladies because there's boys who are just as goofy. Can you say amen? Amen? They find themselves attracted to friends who keep them in trouble and shun from friends who want to get them some right direction. Somebody say amen. And people leave church for some of the strangest reasons. Now, I didn't come to God because the climate was good. In fact, my first experience in church, I was on the wrong side of a church split. You see, the people who bring you to church ain't always right. I wish I had somebody saying amen. And so following behind people who brought me in, I wound up getting out of a good church and find myself in the middle of a mess. And the next thing that happened is my first quote-unquote pastor got a girl pregnant in the church. Having left there, we went someplace and that church wound up in an occult. I mean, I had no good experiences in the church, but I had a wonderful experience in my conversion. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if you come to God for the right reason, no devil in hell or in the pew can make you walk away from God. Can you say amen? And the one thing I came to discover when I first came to God is that there are some absolutes. I wasn't taught this in church. In fact, my wife and I came to a revelation of the truth through simply studying the Bible at home because we were not involved in a solid church. And there are some laws and some principles in the Word of God that can just keep you out of trouble. No matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through or what popular opinion is, there are some things in the Word of God that can just simply keep you out of trouble. Can somebody say amen? You know, if people would just obey the Word, we wouldn't have as many divorces. Can you say amen? If a man would love his wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and if she would respect him the way God says respect, I wish I had a witness here. There's just some things. We wouldn't have an AIDS epidemic if folk would learn to do what the Word says. Wait. Y'all ain't nobody gonna talk back to me. I guess I'm just... this is Sunday morning. I ain't got no business messing with nobody. Praise God. See, today we hear the voice of the world, and sometimes within our own ranks, referring to everything as relevant or relative. What they mean is that whatever works for themselves is fine. That is to say that there are no guidelines, no measures of right, no measures of wrong, no real absolute truths to be lived by. And everything is relative or relevant. Today's customs, today's means, today's measures are all okay, the world would have us to believe, so long as all you do is just believe. You can do what you want to do if you believe. Act like you want to act if you believe. Come as you go as you please, if you believe. And the refrain that's being heard, if everybody's doing it, it must be okay. Can you say amen? Amen. It's much like it was in the book of Judges. And the Bible says that everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. You see, just because you see it a certain way doesn't mean God see it the same way. In fact, the Bible says that everyone did that which was right in their own eyes, and this became the darkest period in the history of Israel. Can you say amen? I believe that the church at large, Christianity at large, has come to live in this manner. Doctrine and teaching from the Word of God are no longer looked upon as necessary. Sometimes the Word gets in the way of our plans. God might say one thing, but we see things through our own eyes. And it doesn't really take all of that so long as you believe. Can you say amen? Amen. Have you ever heard somebody say something like this? I may not be doing it like this, but at least I'm not out there doing that. Has anybody ever heard that? The Bible says that sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is not necessarily just a long list of immoral deeds and immoral behavior. Sin is the opposite of anything that God said do or not to do. Can you say amen? You can be the most upstanding moral person and still be the most ranked sinner in the kingdom of God, because sin is the transgression of the law. Hello, somebody. Amen. James says it like this: for a man to know to do good and to do it not to him, it is sin. You see, you cannot be doing a lot of things wrong and failing to do the things that you need to do right and still be in sin. So when you say, well, I know I'm not doing this, but at least I'm not doing that, do you think for 1 minute that the great holy God of heaven gave you a checklist of authorized sins? Can you say amen? Sin will be sin, whether you're sitting in a nightclub or on a street corner or whether you're sitting in the doctor's office behind your desk. You're still sinning. Sin is the transgression of the law. And you'd be surprised to know that the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof all the ways of death. That is why you have to be very careful not to let how you feel come between you and what God has said. God did not require you to see it his way as a requirement to do it his way. Can you understand what I'm saying? Well, I don't see it like that. You may never see it like that. Because God said, my ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. And as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. I might not see it, but if God said it, that's the way I want to do it. I may not feel it, but if that's what God said, that's the way I want to do it. I might not even understand it, but if God said it, I trust him enough to do it. Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
The Bible is very sure to let us know that we cannot afford to wear our beliefs like a pair of Sunday clothes. You know, we put it on once a week. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know how we put our convictions on once a week? We put our standards on once a week. We put our holy conversation on once a week. We put our praise on once a week. I wish I had somebody say an amen. We can't afford to do it like that. Because God in you, somebody say in you, is the hope of glory. And I hope when you say God is in you, you're not just inviting him in on Sundays for brunch. That you gave him a place to live. And when you leave church, he's still there. And when you go home, he's still there. And when they're cussing you out on the job, he's still there. And if they're mistreating you, he's still there. And if folk don't like you, he's still there. If they're lying on you, he's still there. In fact, Paul says that they may adorn the doctrine of God. The word adorn means to wear. Say wear. He wants us to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, all things is a very peculiar phrase in the Greek, because I studied it in the Greek and I tried to research a little bit of some of its background, that phrase, all things, and searched out the word and the history of those words, all things. And do you know what it really means in the English? All things. In other words, God expects us to live through this thing until he comes in the clouds to take his church in the air. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. He expects us to walk through the storm, through the rain, through the persecution, through misunderstanding, through times of confusion, through brighter days, darker days, in valleys, in mountains, in storms. He expects us us to live this in all things. In all things. He wants us to live our beliefs every day. And those beliefs must be centered on the Word of God. See, faith has been watered down. Grace has been watered down. They no longer have the same meaning that they had in Scripture. In my study of politics, and I like politics, I like to study politics, national politics. I like to study politics. I like government. I like law. My degree is in criminal justice. I like stuff like that. And it's a strange thing how socialism and communism and its philosophies of secular humanism has crept into our culture as a country. You hear the phrase quoted often, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. And one man said in the early 1960s, if you say it enough, people will really believe it's a part of the Constitution. And so you hear it all the time, saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it. And so it's the same thing with faith and grace. If you say something enough, people who do not study will soon hear it over and over and over and over again, and they will believe it. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Check this out. Now hold it. Distorted faith comes from hearing a distorted word. You can strongly believe the wrong thing. And Paul said it like this: even as they did not receive a love for the truth, God gave them strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned. Touch your neighbor on the shoulder and say, neighbor, like it or not, you better love the truth. Because if you don't love the truth, God will step out and let you believe a lie. If the truth hurts, love it. If the truth makes you change, love it. If the truth makes you crawl on your face and pray, love it. Paul said in his writings to Titus, the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that word world in the Greek means age. In this present age. And you have to understand there's a certain kind of spirit that comes with every generation. There are things that you did not have to concern yourself with in the 1950s. You need to be very scared of in 2006. Somebody say amen. There are some things you didn't have to worry about when your children were 1 and 2. And now that they're 13 and 14, you better be on the alert. Y'all not talking back to me. I'm telling you there's some things you need to be concerned about. Grace. Somebody say grace. He said the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Let's deal with this word grace for just a moment, because that word grace has been so twisted. You hear scholars and theologians from almost every denomination, and it's even crept into Pentecost. Grace means unmerited favor. Now, I'm serious. I did a very serious word search on this. And grace does not mean unmerited favor. It means favor. And one of the definitions is favor. But nowhere in any word search, any historical study, any Greek study of the word grace is the word unmerited used. In fact, everywhere you find in Scripture where God gave favor, there was always the word if. If you seek me, you shall find me. Well, guess what happens if you don't seek? You shall not find.
If you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. Well, guess what happens if you do not draw nigh unto God? He will not draw nigh unto you. There's no such thing as unmerited favor. Baby, you've got to move if you want God to move. You got to do something. So grace has been so twisted that folk can just simply raise their hands and say, I believe, and that's all I've got to do. Look at your neighbor and say, liar, liar. The devil is a liar. And the Bible said faith without works is dead faith. If you really believe, if you really trust God, you won't sit down on your do nothing and claim the blessings of faith. If you really want to see the dead raised, you will do like they did at the grave of Lazarus. Jesus had all the power to raise the dead. He had all the power to call Lazarus out of the grave. But before he would make a move, he looked at the people and said, roll ye away the stone. If you want the dead raised, if you want new life in your life, if you want new power, you've got to do something first. Grace requires the if. Grace also means the influence of God upon the heart and the reflection of that influence in one's life. In other words, grace is not a license to sin. Grace is space to grow. Did you hear what I said? Grace is space to grow. I've got four children. And they weren't all born on the same day. They were not all born in the same year. Hello. And in fact, there's a number of years to separate my eldest from my youngest. Now, when my youngest was born, my oldest had to be about, how many years? 6 years old. Is that right, Sister Ella? Six? Five. Keep me straight, sweetheart. 5 years old. So that means he could feed himself and he was potty trained. Now, when my youngest was just an infant, someone had to hold her, nurse her, feed her, and change her. And for her age, she was a perfect baby. Now, if my 5-year-old came in expecting the same treatment, I was going to slap him on the back of the head and say, go sit down. I wasn't unfair. I didn't love one more than the other. Because grace is not saying you can do what you want to do no matter what level of you that you're on. Grace is saying now that you've reached this point, I'm expecting something from you. I've showed you that I love you. I took care of you when you needed care. And now I've got to make some growth demands on you. Can somebody say amen? Now, if my youngest soiled her diaper, we'd pick her up and we'd take her and clean her and put powder on and hold her and, oh, baby, things going to be all right. Your daddy love you. Mama love you. We're going to treat you real sweet. Now, if my 5-year-old did that, somebody say amen. If my 5-year-old did that, he wasn't getting no hugs. He wasn't getting no powdering. He wasn't getting no, daddy gonna just, daddy love you in the house. No, he wasn't getting none of that. If my 5-year-old did that, he was gonna get the other side of grace. Can somebody say amen? You see, grace is not unmerited favor. Grace is space to grow. There is an expectation that when grace comes into your life, God expects you to grow and to mature because he has something for you. He has a treasure for you. He has an inheritance. Somebody say grace. And he said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Say grace. See, there's this twisted, distorted thing that your background has something to do with where you are now or where God plans for you to be. My Bible said the grace of God that brings salvation. Say salvation. Salvation means deliverance. It means healing. It means protection. It means preservation. Your mama might have been a crack addict, but grace can save you. Your daddy might have been a pimp, but grace can save you. Your uncle might be in jail, but grace can save you. You might have been raped when you were a little girl, but grace can pick you up and turn your life around and give you healing on the inside. Grace. Tell your neighbor, grace can turn your yesterdays into bright tomorrows. Grace can turn your disasters into a new plan for destiny. Grace can pick you up, turn your life around, make you brand new. Grace. See, that's why I'm kind of sick of this thing. I wish they just accept me like I am. Of course we do. Grace accepts you just like you are. All the mess, all the trouble, all the ignorance, all the darkness, all the sickness, all the sadness, all the depression. Grace accepts you just like you are. But when grace brings you in, grace grows you up. Grace molds you. Grace shapes you. Grace defines. Give your neighbor a high five. I'm the product of grace. I will never be what I used to be because grace changes me. Grace rearranges me. Grace restores me. Grace renews me. Grace. The Bible said grace that brings salvation has appeared unto all. Now, I haven't been pastoring long. I guess it's got a couple of days under my belt. 23 years to be exact. I've heard every excuse as to why people can't live for God. And all those excuses have to do with some negative experience in your life. I hope you can follow me without getting negative on me. See, I don't know. I don't have much confidence in people who call themselves reverend and don't believe the Bible can bring folk out of yesterday. I got to be careful, see, because I get myself into trouble when I go here. You got all these preachers who bring folk in, and people got problems, and they say, you know, tell me about what happened when you was a little child. And you know, you got to go back and look at your history if you're going to go back and find your future. Shut up. That is not what the Bible said. The Bible said, this one thing that I do, I forget those things which are behind me and I look in another direction. I'm not looking back in my yesterday. I'm not looking back at where I've been. I'm looking at where I'm going. Got so many young folk, white and black, can't do anything for God because some idiot trying to make political headway telling you that you can't be anything because you're a victim of something. I got to mess with this for just a minute. It's only 11 o'clock yesterday time. Because you're a victim of something. Can't read because you poor. Can't live right because your mama's a drunk. You was beat when you was a kid, so you got to be stupid now. I was in a meeting with a bunch of big political bigwigs and educators. They was talking about how kids are suffering in the education system because of 400 years. What does some 16-year-old know about 400 years of oppression? Ain't been here 40 years. I said, they can't read because of this and that and this. I said, now, don't y'all sound pitiful. I said, here they are standing on the street corner having rap wars. I mean, words spitting out like this. Poetry and words. And some of you call poetry, but spitting words out like boom, memorizing all kind of songs, memories like you wouldn't believe, and they can't remember the ABCs. It ain't got nothing to do with yesterday. It's got something to do with what the where the mind is. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new. Bunch of kids walking in school, shooting up everything. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, you got folk in the black community shooting each other over crack. Shooting up schools is a white problem. And they shooting up folk up day depressed. Mama ain't treating them right. Ain't getting no attention at home. Living in a middle-class neighborhood, so poor ain't got nothing to do with it. But all these excuses we're making for people who can't live right. But grace brings salvation. It brings deliverance. It brings healing. And whatever hurt you yesterday, you can be healed of today. Whatever bound you yesterday, you can be free from today. Say grace. Grace can save everybody in every situation, in every circumstance, everywhere in the world. Say grace. Grace. But he also said grace teaches us, oh Lord have mercy, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, in other words, grace teaches you how to say no. When you hear folks say, I just couldn't help myself. Liar, liar. The devil is a liar. Because if you couldn't help yourself to sin, how come you can't help yourself when Jesus calls? I wish I had a witness here. Grace teaches you how to say no. Tell somebody grace can talk you out of it. You see, I could have been married to the wrong woman. And I could have been hanging out with the wrong crowd. I could have spent this Sunday morning in the penitentiary. But grace talked me out of it. I could have been a crack addict, an alcoholic, a spouse abuser, a rapist, or a murderer. But grace talked me out of it. I was on my way with a gun in my hand to execute revenge. I would have ruined my life and taken someone else's. But grace talked me out of it. Say yeah, Lord. I was with a bunch of friends and I got delayed, and they went on to make a transaction and they got caught and they'll never be free. But grace talked me out of it. Say, yeah, grace. Can somebody give somebody a high five? Say, grace talked you out of it. You thought about staying home, but grace talked you out of it. You was about to commit suicide, but grace talked you out of it. Say, yeah. That's why the devil wants to distort grace the way he does. That's why Jude gives us the warning. He said, I meant to write to you about something pleasant. I meant to write to you about this great salvation. I meant to talk to you about what God has planned for you. I meant to talk to you about how God plans to bring you through. I meant to talk to you about what he did on Calvary. I meant to talk to you about the day of Pentecost, but I was interrupted. I heard that there was somebody that crept in to the church, and the Bible said they turned the grace of our God into a license to deny Jesus. They turned grace into something twisted and distorted, and many have gone that way. But I wrote to you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Give your neighbor a high five as a neighbor. Fight back. Fight for it. Don't let the devil rob you of your joy. Don't let the devil rob you of your victory. Don't let the devil rob you of your inheritance. Say, fight back, fight back, fight. And I will tell you that I've had some very tempting offers, that if I just leave this ministry thing alone, I could have better opportunities. I could have had better money, could have had more prestige. Oh, Lord, surely, they said, God would understand if you try to seek for a better life, not at the expense of my soul. For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I'd rather fight than switch. I'd rather stay right in the house of God without a dime to my name, because I've got a new home over in glory. I've got a new name over in glory. Oh, yes, I will. Come on and clap your hands and praise him. So as we read our text, the Bible speaks to Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, when you're a servant, you see things differently. When you are a servant, you don't see things through the eyes of pain. When you see things, you don't see things through the eyes of your circumstance. You don't see things through situational vision. You see things through the eyes of your master. When you are a servant, you're not living for yourself. When you are a servant, you're living to please your master. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, neighbor, all I want to do is please Jesus. I might not live in a fancy home, but if I can please Jesus, I might not own my business yet, but if I can please Jesus, I might be going through the storm, but I want to please Jesus. I won't compromise my faith. I won't compromise my life. If I can just please Jesus, my friends talking about me, I just want to please Jesus. Oh, yes, I do. Clap your hands and praise him. This letter was written to them that are sanctified. The word sanctified means set apart for God's holy purpose. Oh, Lord. Say, set aside. Say, set aside. Did you know when you set aside for God's purpose for your life, people might not understand it. They might not know why you remain committed when you've got so many opportunities to do bigger and better things for yourself. But give somebody a high five, say, neighbor, I've been sanctified. God's got a purpose for me, and it means more than silver. His purpose for me is more precious than gold. His purpose for me is more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares to the Lord. Can somebody say yes? Are you glad to be sanctified? Say yes. I'm preserved in Jesus Christ. He keeps me. He holds me. When I felt like losing my mind, he kept me. He kept me. When I thought I was losing control, he kept me. In the loneliest times of my life, he walked with me. He preserved me. The devil was whispering in my ear, take it, end it, end your life. But God kept me. The devil was whispering in my ear, give it up. It's not worth all of this. But he kept me. And the Bible said, he shall keep them in perfect peace. Preserve them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You don't need a new situation. You need a new mind. He said, be not conformed to this world. Because this world thinks that peace comes through things. This world thinks that you can overcome your situation by changing your situation. And we're looking for ways out. Ways of escape. Money, clothes, silver, gold, careers. And I'm not against any of those things, but they cannot replace the peace of God. He said, be not conformed to this world, this age. And you know, this age is screaming in your ear. You gotta be like this. You gotta be like us. Why do you think the fashion world is so rich and you are so poor? You run around in $100 Jordans, pulling up in the projects in a Navigator. Because the world told you success is in stuff. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Somebody say always. Always means always. I'm going through a most horrible divorce, but God is still good to me. I'm not walking out on Jesus because my man walked out on me. I'd rather fight. Switch. And you know, I was tempted to leave the church when one of our faithful members fell in sin. Because I was looking to them for my hope, but my Bible says this grace that brings salvation taught me that living godly and holy, I can live soberly and righteously in this present age, looking for that blessed hope. The appearing of my Lord Jesus Christ, because grace can talk you out of it. I came to church with all kinds of problems, and you know what? I'm sorry. I don't mean to insult anyone, because that's not my goal in what I preach. But it just doesn't make sense to come to where a healer is and pretend you need no healing. It just makes no sense to come where a Savior is and act like you don't need any Savior. It just makes no sense to come where joy and fulfillment is and walk out empty. You know why? Because ungodly men have crept into our age and told you just going to church will be all you need. You went to church, that's it. Because God can't really help you. Liar, liar. The devil is a liar. Because the Bible says all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. So two questions for you who are going through anything. Three questions. Do you want it to come out to your good? The hell that you're going through, the struggling that you're suffering, the hurt, the pain, the heartache, the fear, the darkness, do you want it to work out for your good? Because if you don't want it to work out for your good, there's no need of me addressing you anymore. The second thing is, do you really love the Lord? Because it'll work out for your good if you love the Lord. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You're my friend if you do what I say. You can't love God and walk away saying, I don't need you right now. I got other things on my mind. If you love him, when he says come, you respond. And the third thing says, it'll work out for your good if you love him and you are to call according to his purpose. If you came in here with your own agenda, with your own checklist of what God's going to do, or else you're not going to respond, I'm sorry, I can't help you, and nobody else here can. And if you want to leave unfulfilled and empty, I hope you hear grace trying to talk you out of it. And I hope you're ready to fight for what God has promised you, because the Bible said, kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it by force. And there's some things you just gonna have to make up in your mind you are not going to do without. But who are the called according to his purpose? Stand on your feet, because I hear the Lord telling at least three people. No, I hear more than that. There's six people who came battling with depression. And you came here with your mind already set. You don't know if you can make it another day through what you're going through. And the Lord said it's going to work out for your good if you love him. And if you hear him calling you. There's a few here who need to be baptized in Jesus' name, because you tried all the religious stuff and you still have guilt lingering over your shoulders, and you need the Holy Ghost. You need God working in your heart. Right now, he's calling you according to his purpose. You're bound in a relationship and you feel trapped. You feel trapped. You don't know how to get out of it. You're scared to be by yourself and you're lonely with the person you're with. He or she leaves you hurt and empty and guilty and ashamed, and you don't know how to get out of it. You don't know what to do. And even the question of coming to God right now is a question of losing somebody that don't really love you, and you know it. And grace is calling you. Will you lift your hands all over the room and begin talking to the Lord and praying out loud? Those of you who need special prayer, will you come right now? Whatever that need is. If you are among those that I mentioned, will you come while the rest of the church is coming to the altar? Yes. Can you come say yes? Yes. Come on to the altar, lift your hands. Yeah.